You're listening to a podcast from Jubilee Church, Farnham. To find out more, visit www.jubilee.church.
Well, sorry you've got me again, but we do actually have a preaching rotor coming together, so there's some other people get to bless you. But I want to continue really just today before to look at our third R in 2022. We looked at renewal, restoration, we're looking at reconciliation today, and then I want to unpack just a bit more about our plans for 22 and then mention the gift day just at the end before we break bread together. So, but thank you, Nathan, and oh, he's not there, wherever he is. Band, there he is. You're getting a warm drink, okay. Now everybody else wants one. So, the Sunday before last, tried to unpack how 20 years ago we had started as a small group and named Jubilee Church, Jubilee Church, and it hadn't come just from the fact that it was the Queen's Jubilee that year, or the Golden Jubilee, but it had come from the rich idea that we see in the Old Testament of Jubilee and that 50-year reset where God instructed the people and they were set free from debt. Land was restored, everything was renewed in that moment. And Jesus used that idea as he started his ministry, declaring like a new type of Jubilee. And that how that was fulfilled in him. It was the great Jubilee all through the Old Testament people were looking forward to. And he announced his kingdom of freedom and renewal and restoration and said it was breaking in as a result of him coming into the world. And we read, and you read the Gospels, you read how Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near, Matthew 4. And then he says, Jesus went throughout Galilee and teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the good news of this new kingdom that he was announcing and healing every disease and sickness among the people. In Matthew 6, you read how he teaches his disciples, and he continues to teach us, doesn't he? To pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. Don't we pray that? We do. Do you know what? There's at least half of the people here praying that. And Juliet verbalizing it for us. We're taught to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're taught to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And then all the other things we need will be given to us. See, Jesus' kingdom, this great jubilee, in a sense, that he talks about, isn't about geography out there. It's about the geography in our hearts, actually. Jesus says the kingdom of God is within you. In Luke 17, he started this process of turning hearts of stone into hearts of flesh. We're born again into a new story. And the story you live in is the story that you live out, as we said last week. And so last week, I sort of built on that first idea and suggested that Jesus was in the renewal and restoration business. And how in 2022, I'm believing for a great wave of personal renewal and a fresh vision for Jesus' glorious and inspiring restored church. That's what I'm believing for in 2022. And Jesus is the master at a reset. He's talks about rebirth. He's all about renewal and restoration. And that is good news for us as we come out of this pandemic. So if your walk with Jesus has grown cold, you've lost your first love. Do you know what? This is a time for you to reset, to renew, to have things restored. If your vision for the glorious church has been lost or grown dim or has been tainted, at the beginning of 2022, Jesus can bring renewal and restoration. And there can be a wonderful reset. That's what I've been saying the last 2 weeks. Could have saved you 2 hours, that little summary, couldn't it? See, Jesus is making all things new. One day, it will all be complete and there'll be no more pain or hurt or illness or darkness or brokenness or strife. But as we often say, we live in the in-between times now, between Jesus' first coming and his second coming. We've got a future hope. We know that. We have a vision for all that is going to be. But that future hope is breaking into the here and now. That's what we talk about, isn't it? The now and not yet. The kingdom breaking in here. That's why we pray, thy kingdom come. So we know there's still darkness, there's still pain. But Jesus is kingdom of light and healing and freedom and renewal and restoration is breaking in. And it's unstoppable. We sang about it. There's nothing that's going to stop it. It is unstoppable. His kingdom is advancing. And the coolest thing is the church, us, like you, me, is his body, his arms, his feet, his family, his army. He is using us to see his kingdom advance. Amen? Wow, that's good. You see, we are his body, his church, and we do it with him. You know, he's within us, he's alongside us, he's leading us, he's empowering us to make such a difference as we're coming out of this pandemic, I believe. And it's been so encouraging just to get people's comments and just these last couple of weeks, people's reflections. It's so encouraging when people send through little messages. That's put a pressure on everybody now to do that, hasn't it? So you don't have to do it, but it is really encouraging. Or little ways that Hayley and I have been encouraged these last few weeks. You know who you are. Some of it anonymous. We're just really grateful for that encouragement. But we're on a great mission together in this 2022. And this week I want to focus on reconciliation, the third R. That was the sort of focus of this week. Why? Because reconciliation is one of humanity's greatest needs and toughest challenges. I know Ben, and I know he does agree with that. Reconciliation is one of humanity's greatest needs and greatest challenges. And it's my conviction that in a world plagued with conflict and division and indifference, the church at this time has got a crucial role to play as a community of reconcilers. That's the summary. If that's all you can take, switch off. I'm going to talk about it a bit more, but that is the point. See, Jesus calls every one of us to love God, love others, love ourselves, and love our enemies. Is that a challenging command? Nobody's left out, are they? And I believe in a world plagued by conflict and division, the church has a crucial role to play as a community of peacemakers. And that is part of the tone as we go into this year. Just reflect on the times we're living in. There's been so much division, hasn't there? Brexit, different views on the pandemic, Black Lives Matters, the Me Too movement, culture wars, the distorting tribalism that social media algorithms bring us, family, marriage breakdown, generational division, division between rich and poor, the cancel culture, an erosion of freedom of speech, terrorism. It's everywhere, isn't it? Broken relationships everywhere. Parents with kids and teenagers needing to be reconciled. Extended families needing reconciliation. Neighbours, communities, nations. The list goes on and on and on. And yet into this, we're given a message and task of reconciliation. But thankfully, Jesus is in the renewal, restoration, and reconciliation ministry. Oh, I just like that picture, but you can't see the red and the black. Oh, well, never mind. Oh, you can also see I'm preaching at 10 o'clock today. Anyway, that's distracted you all. You see, Jesus is in the renewal, restoration, and reconciliation business. The word reconcile literally means to bring together or heal that that is broken. To reconcile is to destroy the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility between two parties. And this healing is so much more than just an absence of conflict, isn't it? And it's certainly not about suppressing difference. We want to see diversity and difference amongst us. But reconciliation is about seeking to transform relationships that have become damaged or destructive into relationships of trust that bring new life. Isn't that what you want to give yourself to? Until it's someone you really don't like and get on with. See, the journey towards reconciliation isn't easy, is it? It requires humility, time, patience, needs a decision to acknowledge it, to let go of the destructive power of memory, past hurts. It requires forgiveness, repentance, perhaps restitution, rebuilding of relationships. It's hard work, actually, reconciliation. But it's precisely because reconciliation is difficult that it is also so powerful. You see, you can disagree without being disagreeable. It's actually called maturity. It's called wisdom. It's called being like Christ. We can have unity without uniformity. Somebody said we can walk hand in hand together without seeing eye to eye. But sort of navigating a divided and complex world can be hard, but Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Not just peacekeepers, peacemakers. Those who do something to make peace. And don't we want, we just long to make a difference, don't we? Often, so hard to know where to start. I was just reading this week, the Archbishop has made it one of his big things. I hadn't appreciated that. He brought together leading practitioners, thinkers, theologians to help the church cross divides, to navigate disagreement, to pursue a just and flourishing world. It came to be called the Difference Program. Landed on three habits that have the potential to transform everyday lives, and encourages people to be curious, listening to each other's stories, seeing the world from another's perspective. So powerful. Talks about being present, showing up, sticking around, learning how to encounter others with authenticity. Talks about reimagining, finding hope and opportunity in the places where we long to see change. Reconciliation is a practical thing that you have to do something about. In the end, he says, reconciliation is not just the ending of all differences, but the transformation of how we deal with difference. So that's a great quote. Good old Archbishop. But reconciliation is also at the heart of Christ's good news, isn't it? It's at the center of the call he makes on those who follow him. The life, death, and resurrection that we come together around, particularly around the table here, is the story of God's reconciliation with humanity, isn't it? Isn't that the story that we're part of? That through Jesus' life, death, resurrection, he opens up a way for a restored relationship between God and us. Isn't that the story that we're part of? Couple of us. It is the story, isn't it? God reconciling man with himself through Jesus. We can't do it ourselves, but Jesus came that we could have a reconciled, restored relationship with God. And how I want in 2022 for there to be a wave, a tsunami of souls reconciled to their Heavenly Father. Have you got faith for that? Do you know, I would love to see this room with more people who've just come to know Jesus this in 2022 than those who knew Jesus in the previous 20 years. I just would love to see a whole wave of our community reconciled to God, because we believe it is good for people. Souls coming to know that they can be reconciled, forgiven, renewed, restored, born again. Moving on from the past, finding the love that they've longed for. Like so many who've done Alpha with say, they just feel like they're coming home. It's what my dear friend Guy was saying at the carol service about the prodigal son just coming to his senses, coming back. And finding his Heavenly Father running towards him to embrace him. Now, don't tell me all the stuff you've done, all the rubbish you got up to. Put this cloak on. Put a ring on. We're having a feast. That's what Jesus is wanting many to come. And I think we've got to pray for it. We've got to work for it. We've got to do it. We've got to see people reconciled to God. Amen? The thing is, though, that if we're really going to preach that and do that, then we have to embrace that the joy of the relationship we have with God needs to overflow in the way we relate to others. So how can we not be reconciled if God reconciles with us? I mean, how can that be the case? How can, you know, how can the world see that Jesus is the way if churches keep bickering with each other? It was the thing that put Ben off becoming a faith right at the beginning, I remember. I'm not going to become a Christian if they don't disagree with each other. It's a time for reconciliation. It's a time where God is doing a new work to bring people together. And it's not just churches, it's people. And the passage that you just have to go to when you're looking at this is in 2 Corinthians 5, 16 to 20. And so I want to encourage you just to read it out with me. Unless you don't want to be reconciled to other people, and then I just keep it quieter in your mouth. Oh no, that's now put pressure on you. Okay, everyone read it. And I hope a lot of people agree with it. Let's read it together. Therefore, wow, we're therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. I mean, how are we ambassadors with a ministry of reconciliation? I mean, it's going to look different for each of us, isn't it? For some, it can be a cup of tea with somebody. Others, it could be being a professional mediator. For some, it's leading groups or marriage courses or parenting programs that reconciles people. For some, it's just a simple, encouraging text to somebody. It doesn't have to be really complicated. See, reconciliation, it's a command. It brings healing. It works restoration. It promotes peace and ultimately is an act of worship. And that's what we're called to do. And right from the beginning of Jubilee, it's been a word on us, actually, as a church, right from when Steve had it right from the beginning, that we were a battalion joining an army to change the course of the battle. We weren't the army. We weren't the ones who were going to sort everything out for the kingdom in Farnham. We were one joining many others in Farnham to see the kingdom advance. And that's why we've poured our energy into working with others. It's why welcome is actually the first word you read on our website. It's a priority. It's why partnership we see as a key value. It's on the website. It's why we prize unity in the church. We want to emphasize good and godly relationships. The Holy Spirit is so grieved when there is a lack of unity in the church. There's no doubt in my mind, it grieves the Holy Spirit. We don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit, folks. We want unity in our community. On my page, unity in the word community is in capitals. Should have done a slide for that, really. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It's like precious oil on the head, pouring down the beard, running down Aaron's beard, down his collar, onto his robe. It's as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows blessing, even life forevermore. Psalm 133. It's why, since we've begun, we've tried to engage with other churches. Why I'm so proud of Andy, who is chair of FCCT, who trying to bring people together. So proud of Ben as he has sought to bring people together with FCCT and the various initiatives that have come out of that. It's why I just love doing the carol thing with Vineyard at Christmas. I tell you, I get to go to some exciting meetings. This week I was in a meeting with Sarah and Betty, who is the youth worker at Vineyard, and Guy, talking about young people. I tell you what, I'm excited. You excited, Sarah? She's nodding at the back that you can't see. But it was so exciting to make a plan of what we're going to do to reach the 99% of young people who don't go to churches in Farnham. We've got to reach out to that generation. And there's faith bubbling up. We've got to bring reconciliation, a message of reconciliation into that generation. Definitely. It's why we do so much of what we do to reach our community, that they would be reconciled to God. It's why we want that message of the gospel to be out in the Farnham. It's why we've done what we've done, because we've come to know the reconciliation of God. I love how Eugene Peterson puts it in the message paraphrase. I'll read it to you. Because of this decision, we don't evaluate people by what they have or how they look. I'm glad about that. We looked at the Messiah that way and once and got it wrong, as you know. We certainly don't look at him that way anymore. Now we look inside, and what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start, is created new. The old life is gone, the new life emerges. Look at it. All this comes from the God who settled the relationship between us and men and called us to settle our relationships with each other. God put the world square with himself through the Messiah, giving the world a fresh start by offering forgiveness of sins. And God has given us the task of telling everyone what he's doing. We're Christ's representatives. And God uses us to persuade men and women to drop their differences and enter into God's work of making things right between them. We're speaking for Christ himself now. Become friends with God. He's always a friend, already a friend with you. I love that translation. Put it up in the week. See, one of the greatest things you can do with your life is to be a bridge builder, not a wall builder. It is one of the biggest things you can do with your life. In fact, you're the most like Christ when you're reconciling people. And that's exactly what Jesus came to do, wasn't it? God sent Jesus to earth to reconcile humanity with God. Jesus is the great reconciler. 1 Timothy 2 says, there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Jesus Christ. And we're followers of him into this world at this time. The Bible calls him the Prince of Peace. The peace with God leads to peace with yourself, which leads to peace with others. That's the story we've come into. Christ calls us to be peacemakers who cross the borders and barriers that divide us with a radical generosity and welcome. That's why we want to welcome people into Jubilee in these months to come. The whole gospel is a call to see others in their humanity and brokenness and to persist in seeking their good, loving thy neighbor. And as the church becomes bigger and bigger around the world, followers of Jesus who represent him in this way, becoming more and more active, the world is changed. And I think we have an opportunity in 2022 to do this. Renewal, restoration, reconciliation. It brings a deep-seated hope, actually, into the world. Immediately following the fall in the Garden of Eden, there was a disconnection, wasn't there? That's what the story is, the story of Adam and Eve, disconnected from God and disconnected with each other. They covered themselves and hid. The whole story in the Bible is one of redemption, of one of connecting people. Connecting people with God, with each other. All through the Old Testament, the covenants were all about that, weren't they? And they all look forward to the new covenant. The one who connects all things, Jesus. Read the beginning of one's Gospel of John, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light to mankind. And light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Isn't that the message we're called into? He's the one who holds everything together. He's the one who brings everything together. He's the one who's in the renewal, restoration, and reconciliation business. And you know what? As we come into that story, as we become enlivened by it, as we become passionate about it, there's an overflow of that to others. 1 John 3:16 says, this is how we know what love is. Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. We receive it, it flows out from us. You're getting a bit of a taste of what I've got a vision for in 2022. I really hope so, because otherwise I'll be on my own. I think God's got some exciting things for us. I tell you what, 20 years was like the warm-up for the next 20 years. Because God's got his blessing upon us, Jubilee. At this time, his hand is on us, this little motley crew, to do some wonderful things. And woohoo indeed, whoever that was. I'm looking over there, it must have been Ben. Next week we've got our annual gift day, and it's entitled Connecting People. And I suppose that that is it, connecting people to Jesus, to his church, to others. That is what we want to go for in 2022. The little phrase is, the pandemic's resulted in a lot of disconnection. So in 2022, our goal is to connect people to Jesus, his church, and others. And we're believing, praying for personal spiritual renewal, a restored vision for the church and for many in our community to be reconciled to God and each other. You up for that in 2022? Well, I want to invite you to be generous next week. We don't talk about money a lot in Jubilee. Often that's mentioned to me by the trustees. But because we don't want to be a church where you just feel like you're being asked the whole time. But this is the day where we're asking next Sunday. And I know there are financial pressures. I know, you know, the cost of living is going up. You know, we are wearing jumpers at home more and more and shutting doors and, well, a lot of us are. Some of us are. I am. actually, that's not true, Rue, is it? Rue is as well. I'm dissing Rue. I shouldn't have dissed Rue or Hayley or Theo. I'm the one who leaves the window open. No. It's the cost of living. Sorry, I'm getting distracted. Cost of living. You dig a hole and you make it worse, don't you? It's worse, bad. Anyway, the cost of living is going up. Okay, those of you who've got mortgages, they're going up. You know, everything's going up. Food's going up. And yet, God gives us so much when you compare it to other people around the world. And I want you to stir faith for a gift day. I want us to stir faith because I'm believing in a great renewal, restorative, reconciling work that we've got to do. And the more generous we are, the more quickly we can achieve some of what we've got to do. Last week I met with a guy, Ant Horton, who's the new chief exec of Urban Saints, and it turns out I knew him. I did my master's with him, which I'd forgotten, which was really good. But he used this phrase I found really helpful. It was that they recognise that Urban Saints, this is that they've moved from a plan and deliver mode to an observe and respond mode. And I thought, crumbs, that's so helpful in this. I'm a plan and deliver guy, but that's not been the mode we've been in. It's been hand to mouth next month. But do you know what? I'm observing so much bubbling up amongst us that I want to see come to fruition. And we've got a little plan. It pinged to your phone, actually, at 20 past 10 and instead of 20 past 11, which it was supposed to do right at this moment. So those of you who've been looking at your phone during the service, you'll know that it's arrived. Those of you who haven't, it's just arrived. We've put a little plan together, but it is a little bit sketchy. It's not like our usual detailed plan. But do you know what? I want to observe and respond a lot this year. And I'm seeing things bubbling up amongst us. I see it in Sarah and the youth team and a fresh passion for young people. I see it in Esther and Ben as they talk about how do we reach people to do sport on a Sunday morning. I see it in Claire when she talks about a coffee shop, wherever Claire is. She's so good at welcoming people into our church. I see it in Yvain when she's reaching out to those who come to the den. We have more new people on Facebook, some wonderful little testimonies of people who bought their kids last week and who had a real hoot. I just see it bubbling up. I see it in Laura with Luminate. She's out there now, faith for those with additional needs. Right in September, Sean, I think we should do it every week. Me of little faith, we can't do it every week. It's like we haven't got the resources to do it. I want to do it every, I've got faith to do it every week. The next 3 weeks, we have families arrive with kids with additional needs. See, faith is bubbling up. We've got to respond to it. I see it just everywhere. I see it with those doing fostering adoptions, those who talk to me, why don't we get people who've got CUs at work sorted together to talk about Christians in the workplace? I even saw it at a meeting this week with people who'd got faith to write grant applications for me. I mean, it bubbles up in all sorts of ways. We had a great evening working at which grant-making trusts we could apply for some of the great ideas we've got. What about Amy and Alison? Things are bubbling up, you see. And we want to observe it, don't we? And respond to it. There's those who've got a fresh mission for missions. It's great to have Jane here and provoking us. What about the nations? What about people? Those who've got a passion for the welcome lunch. Seeing Rick with a passion to make disciples. Hayley with a passion to see kids growing and mums and kids connecting. Christy with a worship. So many people I see in Jubilee who've got faith bubbling up. I see it in the restoration, the revamping of Wadham Christian Centre. I've been going on about it for years. But, you know, we're doing it now. It's going to become Jubilee's community hub, connecting people in that area. It's going to be beautiful. I see Paul's vision for a coffee van. I mean, I still want to have my coffee van. See, there's loads of things bubbling up. And we need to respond to them. And we can respond to them, some of the things, by having some cash. And so that's why we've got a gift day next week. And that's why I want us to enter it in a different mode. One of generosity, enthusiasm. And I don't often talk like this, but I really do want lots of money because there's lots of things to do. And I see these things bubble. I want to respond to them. And some of them, we need cash. And I want to see that a fruition. So I, to be honest, I can't remember a season in the 20 years where financially it was as tough for people when I'm saying, I'd like some more money. I can't think of a time like that. So we've got to pray and come with faith to next Sunday. Amen? Amen? So pray for it. Make a one-off gift. Pray about your monthly giving. If you don't give, think about giving. Because God is in a wonderful mood with us. He loves us. His heart is to renew, restore, reconcile himself with us. I tell you, it's time for some people here to stop and to move on. They've got stuck. And you know you've got stuck, and it's time to move. That's the time. The psalmist is so focused on the past. It's time to reset, to move forward. There's no reason not to at this point. And as we do that, as we become his church, you know what? His blessing is coming upon us. Amen? I feel excited. Let me finish with this. It's a scripture from Isaiah 58. It's nothing to do with giving or any of the things I'm talking about, but it captures something. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. It's a wonderful passage. Let me just read it in the message because it's great in there as well. If you get rid of unfair practices, quit blaming victims, stop gossiping about other people's sins, you will be, if you are generous with the hungry and start giving yourself to the down and out, your lives will begin to glow in the darkness. Your shadowed lives will be bathed in sunlight. I will always show you where to go. I will give you a full life in the emptiest of places, firm muscles, strong bones. You'll be like a well-watered garden, a gurgling spring that never runs dry. You'll use the old rubble of past lives to rebuild anew. Rebuild the foundations out from your past. You'll be known as those who can fix anything, restore old ruins,
rebuild and renovate and make the community livable again. Wow. Let's stand, shall we?